Thank you, Pastor Dane.
This is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Advent means
what?
The coming. We celebrate the first coming of Jesus, looking forward to his second coming. And each Sunday, leading up to the celebration of Christmas, the birth of Jesus, the advent of Jesus in this world, we have lighted a candle. First Sunday was the prophet's candle, over 600 prophecies fulfilled in detail about Jesus coming. Second Sunday was the angel candle. Seven times angels appear in the story to bring the message of God, because they are literally, that's what the word angelos means, messenger of God. Last week we lighted the shepherd's candle. The shepherd's candle. As the shepherds, you know, Lord was wanting the down and outs, which the shepherds were, the up and outs, and even the over and outs, to know about his coming. And that announcement was made to them, and they came and worshiped the Christ child. And so today, we light our fourth candle, and this is the Magi candle. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." The Magi came, and today that's going to be the theme of our day today, as we remember, as the Magi came and saw him as a young child. Later on, not there at the creche when the shepherds were there. It was a different time. Tonight, when we gather together, we have one more candle. The fifth candle in the middle will light the Christ candle, which will be our celebration of Jesus coming. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for speaking to us today. And Lord, I ask you that everything that we do, as we worship you in spirit and truth, as we sing carols, Lord, as Brother Rick comes and opens your word and shares your truth with us, I ask you, God, that today you will speak to us. We'll hear your voice clearly. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand and greet one another.
All right, this morning, kids are staying here. No, nobody's going. In the last several weeks, as we've worked our way through the Advent story, we've looked at the prophets, we've looked at the angels, we've looked at the shepherds. Today we're looking at the Magi. And more importantly than just remembering the story and going back and doing what we always do, we've tried to take a little different approach. As we've looked at the story and the people who were, and the characters, the actors, and I don't mean that in a flippant way, I'm talking about the people who are a part of the story. Not just the people, the powers, the entities that were part of the story, and what it says to us. We've also tried to look forward. We've tried to give an anchor for a new year, a new day, not just thinking nostalgically on what was, but looking at what this story and who God has made us to be might be saying to us about what happens when we wake up the next day. And what happens when we wake up the next year. And what happens as we live every day in the year 2018. Because that's the next thing we have. If we have another day. So we've looked at what if you found hope this Christmas, as we looked at the prophets. What if the message became our mission, as we looked at the angels. We looked at what if we live the faith and the obedience of the shepherds. And today we look at what if we offer God our first and our best, as we look at the Magi. So let's look at the story, this part of the story today. We're looking in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew's the only one that captured this part of the story. And like Dusty alluded to a little bit earlier, this part of the story actually took place a little bit later than the birth in Bethlehem. We don't exactly know when these Magi, and again, You know, we've interpreted that through the Western culture. We've interpreted who these guys were in a lot of different ways. We've called them wise men. We've called them kings. Well, all we know is this very unusual word for us, magi. It was quite common for the day and the culture that it was written in, but for us, we can't get our hands or our minds around who these guys were. We call them kings because they had really expensive stuff that they brought. We call them wise men because they must have known something about astronomy and astrology and trying to put all that together with what really meant, everything really meant. And so they were looking at the Hebrew scriptures, they were looking at the skies, and they knew something was unusual. They had that ability. We don't really know. What we do know is that as we look at the story, these guys had something right. And we're going to talk about what they had right today. So let's look at the story. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. So after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen, when it rose ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. As we look at what we see in this narrative, there's some observations that we need to make first about what actually happened. So the observations that I see are these. First, if we look at the story, the Magi made it their priority to follow the sign, the star of God's making. They could have done a lot of other things, but what they chose to do was listen and attend to what they saw coming together. For them, this was no unusual thing that they could explain away. This was something that caught their attention, stayed in their minds, made its way to their hearts and then to their feet. Because they left home and went to a place they didn't even know where it was with a lot of stuff that was not cheap, if you think about it. I mean, how many of us are going to take a long trip in a big, you know, nice car and it's kind of like you have your windows open and you're showing everybody your money? That's kind of like what this trip was like. Because as you go in that place, in those areas where they went, everybody knew these guys had means. And you've heard the stories of what happened on those back roads back in those days. Jesus even told parables about what happened on the back roads those days. So that's the first thing. Second thing we can observe is this. The Magi made God's timetable their timetable. You see, they could have said, "Oh, not now. I've got to go take care of this." Or, "Oh, I have this really important project. The king wants me to do this right now." Or they could have said, "Oh, I'm just too tired." They could have had other priorities. They could have just been apathetic. But that's not what they did. Instead, they made God's timetable their timetable. How long did it possibly take this to unfold? Couple of years. Because Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We don't know necessarily if that's when the star popped up, but sometime very close to that's when the star popped up, and they've been working on this journey for a very long time. They were on God's timetable. Because I'm sure they had things they would rather be doing back at home, wherever home was. Third thing we observe, the Magi offered the child Jesus their most precious gifts, and in a truest sense, it was worship. They came all this way through all these things in order to arrive at a place they didn't even know where it was. They even had to humble themselves to go to a palace because they were dumb enough to think, well, certainly he would be in the palace. But you and I would have done the same thing. You know, where do you go to find a king? You go to the palace. And they had all this stuff with them that was precious, valuable, important to them, and they thought, this is what you do when you take something to the king. Number four, the Magi did not consider if the child was qualified or capable of using their gifts. When they left on their journey, they knew they were going to honor a newborn king. They did not say, this baby doesn't know what I'm going to give him. I'll just take this trip and I'll give him plastic spoons. You know, they didn't have plastic spoons. But you understand, they didn't take him a baby rattle. They took him gold and frankincense and myrrh. This is what you gave kings when you came into a king's court. This is how you honored the king. These were valuable, precious things. And they did not withhold those things just because this was a child. All right. So let's go to the part that hits us. And that is the application part. Based on the observations. So, what if you and I offered God our first and our best? If we offered God our first and our best, we would, number one, prioritize time with God. Now, yes, I could talk to you about prayer, and I could talk with you about reading your Bible, which are good things. I could talk with you about being in environments where you are encouraged to study your Bible, and you do that with other people, and you talk about the applications. All that stuff is true. And I could say it over and over again. But guess what? You guys have been in congregations and you've sat here and you've had other people tell you this. You know this. But the reality is that's not the only way that we prioritize time with God. We also prioritize time with God by allowing God to use us and speak to us and redeem the time that we have wherever we are. You've heard us say many, many times if you've been around here, this little expression, grow where you're planted. And the reality is that God is much more excited about us allowing Him to use us and redeem us through where we are instead of sucking us out. See, we want God to go and suck us out of all our problems. And the reality is, in the hardships of our day, in the things that we go through, in the commonalities of life, if we will let Him use us and transform us in the middle of it, what we'll find is that He is doing amazing things all around us. It's allowing Him to take the time that we offer Him, wherever it is. It may be whenever you're talking to other parents when you're at a school event. It may be when you are at Walmart, which is what Dusty and I love to do. We love to walk into Walmart and we look around for people to talk to. Now, Dusty does it much more winsomely than I do. But Regina will testify that sometimes I go, oh, that's so-and-so, I gotta go talk to him. And then I'll go scurry off and she's kind of wants me to stay there and get stuff off the shelf. And instead, I'm over there wanting to go talk to somebody. God doesn't really so much always want to take us to Bethlehem as He wants for us to give Him Savannah. Does that make sense? But if He tells us to go to Bethlehem, we need to go to Bethlehem. Whatever our Bethlehem is. Because it's worship when we give Him our time and we prioritize our time. We can hear God when we're in the car driving. If we'll let Him, as much as we can when we're sitting there in front of our Bible. Because He's God. The question is, are we listening? Are we putting ourselves before Him, presenting ourselves before Him, our time before Him, and letting Him redeem the time that He gives to us? So, if we gave God our first and our best, we would prioritize time with God, and we'd realize, is there any time that we're not with God? Number two, we would prioritize time to serve others in Jesus' name. Those magi went at least hundreds of miles, probably thousands of miles. Probably they didn't have rail, and they didn't have a car. And if they were on donkeys or camels, it wasn't a comfortable trip, even if they're going in luxury. Following a star, they didn't know where it was going. Taking precious gifts to a child. If we would prioritize our time such that we would serve other people, we would understand that just like those magi who placed their most precious stuff at the child Jesus' feet, that Jesus told us, what should we do when it came to other people? Love them, serve them, forgive them. All those are ways to minister to people, whether we understand that or not. If we would just prioritize where we are, what we're doing, and realize that God can use it, and we can bless other people, and we can minister to other people right where we are, right where He places us, then yes, if we'll do that on a day-to-day basis, then when it comes time for Him to tell us to go somewhere else and go outside of our comfort zone or what we're not used to, we are in the zone. And we can hear it. And we can follow it. And we can go. Because we've seen Him doing amazing things all throughout our day. If we would just prioritize time to serve other people. Because that's giving Him our first and our best. When we do that. Giving God our best is always has been an expression of the way that we would serve Jesus. He said, if we serve others, we're serving Him. That's worship. Sometimes worship exhausts us. Sometimes worship frustrates us. But it's not about us. It's about what we offer. Number three. What if we offered God our first and our best? We would find that we would offer God the best of our abilities and talents if we're going to do that. The best. God deserves the best of our efforts. He doesn't deserve half-heartedness. A lot of people have a lot of motivations to accomplish and do a lot of things. Those passions are not bad most of the time. What we need to do is focus them in the area and the realm of the best and offer to God what we are, who we are, what we have, in terms of our abilities and talents. And again, it doesn't mean that we all have to quit our jobs and become spiritual. What it means is, where we are, we let Him make that the realm of a place where we can offer ourselves and our abilities and our skills to Him. So, when I'm in a classroom over at that place a couple of miles away, and I'm teaching students, or trying to help them learn how to write better in a college environment, okay? It's an offering, because I'm going in Jesus' name. I can't tell them that over there, but that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going in Jesus' name. So whenever I get in front of them, I try to convince them, and you guys don't understand how hard it is to convince these guys that I really do care. That I'm really not there just to be a big bully telling him to do a bunch of stuff and doesn't give a hoot. Okay? I know that there are probably people that do have that attitude. That's not who I am. That's not what I'm called to do. But to convince them, it's very, very hard because they've been so abused and beaten already in their experience. But what my job is to offer myself up. And your job is to offer yourself up. In whatever in engaging environment you find yourself, to let God maximize your talents and abilities so that you are glorifying God. Because you are offering yourself up to Him when you do that. Letting Him do what He wants to do with who you are and how you do it. Does that make sense? And number four. If we offer God our first and best, we would acknowledge that God is the owner and we are the manager. Not one of you can take credit for the fact that God has allowed you to have the education you've had or experiences you've had that allows you then to do the things you do in order to make the money that puts a roof over your head and food on your table. But the funny thing is, in the culture, we start to convince ourselves that we made ourselves. That we somehow manufactured the environment to where we were the cat's meow. And it was all up to us. It was all our doing. Like all that stuff we got belongs to us. Wrong. As soon as we start to think that way, God will find a way to remind us that He moves things around where He wants them to go. Sometimes that humiliates us and sometimes that excites us. But we have to get this straight. If we're going to be like those magi, we have to understand that all this stuff we've got, the purpose of it is to be used to glorify God. And the first and the best of what we have should go to Him, because that's worship. And it doesn't matter if He's a newborn baby. It doesn't matter if He's an old man sitting on a throne in the sky. He's worthy because He's God. And we're not in the position of saying, but I don't know if God's going to do with it what I want Him to do with it. That's not worship. Because God's not on the throne when we have that attitude. We are. We've got to acknowledge that He's the owner, we're the manager. Which brings me to number five. If we offered God our first and best, we would offer God the first and best of our money and material resources. So we all feel very comfortable about talking about all this other stuff. But when it comes time to talking about money and resources, we get really stingy. I would be just fine if everybody here just said, okay, I'm going to give God my first and best. And I'm not putting any numbers on it. You just give God your first and best. You do that and you'll see what God will do with it. Because that's worship. That's what God calls us to do. That's what we were made to do, was to offer God our first and best in everything, especially our stuff and our money, because He gave it to us. You know, we struggle with this whole idea of what that word tithe meant in the Old Testament. Because it meant like three different things. You understand that, right? There was the 10%, then there was special tithes where it's like 30%. Boy, we don't want to go there. We don't want to talk about those. All it was a way to remember that God gave us what we have. And so, because we want to honor God and worship God, we give Him back the first and the best of what He's given to us. Because He gave it to us. You know us. We have never, ever, ever, and we're not ever, ever, ever going to tell you to get out your 1040s and show us your taxes. Ain't going to happen. But I'm telling you, there are churches in this city that do that. I'm not kidding. God wants us to have hearts that honor Him and worship Him. I look back on this story and I see these magi, these wise men, these kings, these astronomers, astrologers, whatever they were. And I think of how much it took them to get those precious gifts in front of that 2-year-old. And I'm amazed at the lavishness of the generosity and the desire to worship. And I want to have that kind of heart. You want to have that kind of heart. If we offered God our first and our best, I think things would be different. How about you? Let's pray. Father, help us to see You for who You are. Help us to see how much You do for us. Help us to see how deep Your provision and love are for us so that we receive graciously things that we could never understand how they happen. Just heard a story this morning, Lord, about Your provision in the midst of a what seemed to be a mistake. And yet You came through and You provided. Lord, I pray that we would understand that our first and our best is what honors You. And our first and best is what You take to change the world and to change hearts. Lord, help us not to be stingy with our first and best, but realize You're our God. You deserve it. Let us trust You because You have proven Yourself trustworthy over and over and over again. We thank You. Lord, give us grateful hearts because not one of us chose where we would be born. Not one of us really chose the physical limitations or the physical blessings that we would have. Lord, what we've got is from You. We bless Your name. Now this morning, as we come to this closing time, like Dane said earlier, there's a basket in the back. There's baskets up here. And you know, if you've been around us, these baskets are for the prayer requests, for offerings and things that help us communicate with one another. And whenever you share your prayer requests with us, we pray with you about those things and we partner with you. We take that seriously. And there are many times where you may not know it, but we get a chance to help people because you've been generous. We get very excited about being able to do that because we feel like that's part of kingdom work. So today, as we come to this time before we acknowledge tonight the fact that Jesus has been born and we celebrate His simple birth, let us today consider what it means to give Him our first and our best. And let us have a year where we give God our first and best. We're going to be quiet for just a minute or two. Gary's going to play quietly. Then if you need to move to the baskets, you can do that. Then Dusty and Dane and I are going to be up front with our wives. And you can come, and if we need to pray, we'll be happy to pray with you about what's going on in your life or intercede for others if that's what you need to do today. I'm going to ask you to think about one thing as we come to the end of our time this morning. There are people all around us who are struggling with finding joy in this holiday season. Let's do the best we can to be sensitive so that when God gives us an opportunity, we can be the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus. And it's not that we have to preach, but that we can be kind or caring or loving or generous, that we take the opportunity. And that we do that so that people will begin to believe that there is a God in heaven who has sent His Son. Let's bow. Father, we thank You for our time together. We bless Your holy name. We ask that You go with us, that You lead us into the world that's hurting, realizing that, Lord, we too have been a part of this world and are. And that, Lord, You send us out, but You go with us and You lead us and You empower us. Lord, help us to take that gift and share that gift with the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.